For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of the Frisco Podcast is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Be sure to bring your family, teammates, and friends out to the ballpark for baseball, food, and fun during the Rough Riders' next homestand in Frisco. Get your tickets at ridersbaseball.com. Don't miss a minute of the ride.
This is Hustle and Pro with Kelly Walker. Join Kelly as she talks sports with players, coaches, organizers, and entrepreneurs from Pee Wee League to Pro. Now here's your host, Kelly Walker.
On today's episode of Hustle and Pro, we have Josh Morgan with the Frisco Rough Riders. Josh is an infielder slash catcher. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But first, we're going to jump into a couple quick hits to get to know Josh a little bit better. Hi, Josh. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Are you ready for some quick hits?
Absolutely.
All right. What is your favorite sport to play?
Well, my favorite sport to play now is baseball. But it always wasn't like that. It was football growing up. I actually stopped playing football when I was 15. I realized that I wasn't going to be 6'3 and an absolute monster. So I started to play baseball more and more. And I grew up playing baseball. But I've always had a little bit more of a love for football. And so, that changed. And so now I'm obviously, baseball, all baseball.
What about your favorite sport to watch?
Favorite sport to watch? It depends. If it's playoffs, I probably baseball. If it's anything, really, it probably would be baseball, just because I look at it as I can learn a lot of different things from baseball, but I really enjoy watching basketball. So.
But we're in basketball playoff season right now, so that's probably why, if I ask you in October or in the fall, or in January, you're probably going to say football, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever, the Super Bowl, the playoffs, or whatever it is, I'm all for it.
Who's your favorite all-time athlete?
Derek Jeter, for sure. Derek Jeter. Kobe Bryant is definitely up there. Just the mentality for them and growing up, watching them, how they carry themselves, what kind of winner that Kobe Bryant was, what kind of, person and the character that Derek Jeter had. I think we can all learn a lot of things from both of them. So I like both of them. I look up to both of them.
What about your favorite team of all time?
I've always been a Dodgers fan. Dodgers, Lakers, football, I'm kind of up in the air, Chargers. Now it's Rams, so I can't say I'm a true, like, I can't say I bleed navy blue for the Rams, but it's always been Lakers and Dodgers, for sure.
Okay, so obviously you're from California. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up?
Long Beach, California. Okay. I grew up in Long Beach, and now I live in Corona, California, so it's Riverside County, but I know Long Beach is more known, and that's where I was born, so.
So those are your teams.
Those are my teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the farthest you've ever traveled to either play sports or go and watch something?
Farthest I've ever traveled? Maybe the Dominican Republic, I would say.
For baseball?
Definitely, yeah, for baseball. Uh-huh. With the Rangers. It was in 2015, we had a couple camps that were going on there that I participated in. So, yeah, that was I think that was the only time I've been out of the country for baseball.
For sports.
So, mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about what you're doing now. You're a catcher, but you were drafted as an infielder. What position were you primarily always playing?
Shortstop.
Shortstop.
I've always been a shortstop.
All right, so had you caught before?
I caught a little bit in eighth grade, and then I caught my freshman year of high school to try to get to the top line and try to get to varsity. I had to catch, and so it was a change, but I tried to do it, and I did it, and it was cool. I had fun with it. But then I hadn't caught since then, until 2017. So
how did it come up when you were here? I mean, how did it all go down? Did the coaches approach you, or did you say, hey, I step up, I want to do this?
It was more the coaches that came to me and was like, okay, hey, we see you more as a guy that can do both. And I'm all for whatever it takes to get to, to the big leagues. And so it actually took me a year and a half actually to actually say yes, though, because I didn't really want to do it too much, and catching is by far the hardest position on the field, mentally, physically, everything. And now I have a total new respect for catchers now that I am one, but yeah, the coaching staff came to me, and we had an agreement, and you know, now I'm doing both. So.
All right. So that one of my questions was, how much harder is it on your body?
Oh, it's 10 times harder on your body. Just you're always in a squat. It seems like 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, on your, it's not only harder on your body, but it's harder mentally. Just, you know, you have to know the pitching staff. You have to know the opposing hitters. Everything that goes down, you have to know what everyone's doing on every single play.
Yeah.
You're the quarterback. You're the quarterback of the field.
Yeah, it's not like shortstop where you just, you know the situation, you know where you're going with it, mm-hmm. but this, you have to control more of it, right?
Exactly. So in shortstop, you got every single position has its different, you know, difficulties, and it's mental. The higher and higher you go, the more and more you need to learn. But at the same time, catching is at a whole different monster. So, but I enjoy it. I enjoy being the, you know, I guess you could say the quarterback on the field, you know, calling the pitches and everything, and getting to know the pitching staff, and mm-hmm. you know, just being the guy that people might look to hey, what are we gonna do here? What are we gonna do here? So I like being that guy, and I think it gets me closer with all my teammates.
Especially if you have younger guys coming up pitching, mm-hmm. and you know, now you're gonna help them mm-hmm. figure out how to get settled here.
Exactly. So I mean, people say that the biggest jump in minor league baseball is high A to double A, and obviously we're here in double A in Frisco. And so you get some young pitchers, and they might be a little nervous or not know what to do in certain situations. And so I feel like that's our job as catchers to really settle them down and make sure they know, it's the same game, just on a little bigger stage than before. You know, and it's all fun and games, so just relax and try to make them have fun.
Going forward, is this like a utility? Are you going to try to be both positions, or are you labeled like catcher and that's what you're going to do in the future?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Miklick, our manager, he can put me on shortstop, put me at second base, third base, whatever. It's catcher, obviously. Right now, I'm doing more catching than anything. But in my mind, mentally, I know I can play anywhere on the field, even outfield. I'm putting on the pitcher's mound. In my mind, mentally, I feel like you have to. If you're utility, then you know, you have to be able to play every single position on the field.
Be ready.
And so I'm always ready for that. Right now, like I said, I'm catching more than anything. So, but I'm always ready to play short again.
And in this league, it changes. What they need can change mm-hmm, mm-hmm. from one month to another. Especially if, I mean, somebody can get taken away, pulled, not just injuries, which is normal, but somebody can be moved up mm-hmm. or down or whatever, and then they didn't know they needed a shortstop or
exactly.
a catcher tomorrow.
So I could be catching tonight, say if I was catching tonight and, you know, I was scheduled to catch tomorrow, but say our shortstop gets hurt or he gets moved up, like you said, or gets moved down, whatever happens, you always have to be ready, you know, especially, like I said, if you're a utility, because you never know what's going to happen. Anything can happen on any given day. And so, you know, you always just have to be prepared.
You talked about playing football and then switching over to baseball. So I was going to ask, at what point did you know it was baseball? Like, what age or what grade was that when you said, all right, dumping football and switching over? How old did you say?
I was 15.
15.
15. And I had just, it was weird because I had just finished, my dad played in with the Chiefs. And so he was, had spent a little bit of time in the NFL. And, he was always football, but when I started playing more baseball, he was like getting way like more and more into baseball. And my family's baseball, or my family's just sports, period. Mm-hmm. But it was around 15 where I realized that, like I said, I wasn't going to be, you know, 6'3", 6'4". Not that you have to be it, but, you know, makes things a little easier when you're, I was a wide receiver. And so, you know, not running, you know, like Usain Bolt, basically.
Yeah.
I thought I was more fit for baseball, and I've always, like I said, I've always had a love for baseball, and
yeah,
I still continue to.
Sounds like
to.
It with your I like Jeter, like in Jeter,
yeah.
since you were a little kid.
Mm-hmm. So
when did you actually start playing baseball?
Shoot, when I was 3 years old,
little league,
probably.
Like mm-hmm. as little as you can.
As little as you can, I was there. Yeah, probably even younger. I was probably with, if I was 2 or 3 years old, I was probably playing with 4 or 5 year olds, just because my dad was always like, hey, we got to get you into older groups, just so you feel more comfortable when you get to high school, when you get to whatever. And so,
were there other sports besides baseball and football that you played?
Basketball, track for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I played soccer for 1 year, mm-hmm. but my dad always tells me a story. I was like, I never wanted to come off the field for all those other sports, but in soccer, he couldn't get me on the field. I only wanted to sit on the bench and eat Cheetos. And so that's the main thing that I remember about
soccer. Wasn't your thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like soccer now? Like, do you watch soccer?
I don't dislike it.
Yeah.
I'm not really that interested in it. But I know it's you know, the most popular sport in America, I feel like. And so When it's like,
well, world.
World, yeah.
Not
world.
America,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a little behind on the love of soccer
yeah,
around.
That's true. That's
in
true.
America, around so. Here, but yeah. So you're number three. I was going to ask you why. Is that a Babe Ruth thing? Is that a... When you mentioned Jeter, is Jeter three or...
Number two.
Two.
Jeter's number
okay,
two. I've
like,
always been a number two, but then I switched over to number three when number two was taken my one of my high school years. And I'm Christian, so I see you know number three as being you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason why I like it, why I always kind of push to get it. But yeah, I just always kind of had a love for number three ever since the number two was kind of taken away from
so
me.
So you started being number three in high school.
Yes.
You said.
Mm-hmm. In high school, I was number three, and then ever since I've literally been number three. I think for almost every single year.
What was your dad? What position was your dad in football?
Wide receiver.
So what's that? What number is that? Like
so he was like I don't remember what number. Yeah, it was like 80s
yeah.
in the 80s, and so and he's not big at all. I mean he's 5'10", 5'11", but he was. We always argue. He was way faster than me. You know, and he's probably still stronger than me to this day. He's just naturally gifted. So I got a little bit of it. I also got a little of my mom's side. When no harm to my mom, but she's the most unathletic.
I was going to say, is she an athlete?
She's the smartest person I know, the most loving person I know, just a great human being, but not so much on the athletic side. So,
are you guys Pat Mahomes fans up there for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, always Pat Mahomes fan. He's
yeah.
a you know great individual, great quarterback, obviously.
I'm
dad,
a Texas Tech person. So,
are you? Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
so I was a fan of his the last
mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not be a fan of his.
Yeah.
You know, my dad honestly pays more attention to baseball now that I'm in it, and he has a love for baseball that I've never seen. And so, like I said, my family is very sports oriented, and you know, and so they're always into whatever's on. So.
Did your family watch the last day of the Masters last weekend?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
We saw Tiger.
Who didn't, right?
We saw Tiger.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, doing his thing. He's
yeah.
back.
We
had
so
a
back.
Argument in the clubhouse that everyone was saying Tiger was done. Guys were saying Tiger was... And
Tiger was saying Tiger was
yeah,
done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And how can you not believe he's you know, he's done? Because he, you know, he had so many injuries, so many things happened. But, you know, he proved the haters wrong.
It was awesome.
So, yeah.
It was
I think
incredible.
We were all kind of rooting in him, for him in a way.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were. And it was just a neat scene to
yeah.
watch. That's how our family is, too. We'll
mm-hmm.
watch whatever.
Very,
whatever
yeah,
season it is, whatever's on.
Always
right
into.
Now, it's playoff hockey.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And I'm into hockey, too.
Yeah.
I went to my first hockey game when I was, I want to say, like 12 or 13. And I never really was into hockey before that. And I went to my first hockey game, and I was like, this
That'll
is
do
a,
it.
Yeah, this is a total different experience than what you're watching on TV.
For sure.
And
TV, I get lost a little in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know why. I can watch baseball on TV. It's totally different. It's
mm-hmm.
obviously slower. But being at a game in person watching hockey is completely different. You'll get hooked.
It's an unbelievable experience.
Yeah.
And now I can't name you all the teams and
no,
the divisions.
Me neither.
I rarely watch it on TV, but I mean, it's playoff hockey. You know, you're going to watch it. And if I ever get a chance to go to a game again, which I know I probably hopefully will.
Sure.
I'm definitely going to take that advantage.
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, I'm talking about the Stars when I say playoff hockey because we have them here and they're like your neighbors next door as we sit here at Dr. Pepper Ballpark. So I want to ask you about Frisco. Before you came here a couple seasons ago, had you heard of Frisco? What did you know of this place in Frisco, Texas?
I just knew that everyone I talked to had literally nothing bad to say about Frisco. And so we're all the guys in high that are coming up to AA, we were all excited to come up and just to see what it's like and see if all the hype was real. And we get here and it's like, wow, this really is, you know, the hype is real. And so, you know, we come into the stadium, it doesn't even look like a stadium from the outside. It looks like apartment buildings
mm-hmm.
until you get in. And you get in, it's like, wow. And you see the lazy river, you see everything around the ballpark. And it's just such a beautiful ballpark, such a beautiful city. And so, you know, we're really all happy to be here.
I love this ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love being here. It's a great place to
yeah.
watch baseball and so many other things that happen here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've seen a lot of other ballparks, how do you rank this one?
Oh, this is number one for me. Number one for me by far, I would say. I mean, unless we're talking like big leagues, which is
no, like minor league parks.
This is 100%
for sure,
number
right?
yeah, number one. And this can, you know, compare to a big league stadium as well. I know we were talking to the owners of Dr. Pepper Ballpark,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that they have the same amount of people working here that they do in a big league ballpark, and that's how it stays so clean, so
mm-hmm.
nice. This is an amazing ballpark, and we all love playing here. So all the fans, you know, I think it's it usually gets number one in fan attendance
in
the minor leagues. And so
they do such a good job.
Yeah, an amazing job with, you know, in between innings and you know, all the different skits and getting the players involved with the fans. And we all have a very good time.
Yeah. So then what about Major League Parks? Do you have a favorite?
Major League Parks, I would have to say, I haven't been to, like, the... like Fenway or New York, or what's the other one? Wrigley. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been to those three. But I mean, being a Dodger fan, I think I would have to say Dodger Stadium is probably my favorite, with the, you know, the most popular hot dog is a Dodger dog. And so I loved going there as a kid. My aunt used to work for the Dodgers and always used to hook it up. And so that's probably my favorite ballpark.
You don't get to go to there anymore, do you?
Not really.
You're busy working.
Yeah, I'm always busy, so not too many. I don't spend too many games, too many days at Dodger Stadium anymore.
Yeah. One day.
When you're
old and done playing, you can go back and play and watch. All right, this is a question from a child. They've submitted this to ask you. I'm interested, too. What are some of the perks of being a Rough Riders player?
Some of the perks?
Yeah.
I think my biggest perk, honestly, is... you know, giving a ball to a fan or signing autographs and really seeing the smile on the kid's face. Just because so many kids look at us and say, like, oh, man, I wish I was there. I want to be there. When we were growing up just like them, we were in their shoes once. And so doing all the charity work that we do and you know, making sure we give back to the fans and to the little kids especially, seeing their reaction when we give them a ball, like I said, and signing autographs is really, it's what we play for. And so, that's probably my number one thing that I would say. And I think my teammates and everyone in the clubhouse would attest to that as well. So we all love seeing just giving back. So
I think that matches up with what the fans love about this place too, is the access to players and just how you see little kids getting autographs and balls, and it makes their day, their year, whatever, and they hang on to that stuff. And
yeah, and you, like you said, you remember it. I remember I went to a minor league game, the Dodgers minor league game, when I was like maybe 10, and I remember one of the players just shook my hand and was like, "Hey man, have a good one," or something small like that, just something little.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I still remember it to this day. And I don't remember who the player was. I just remember one of the Quakes. It was a Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. They're high. I remember one of the players just gave me a handshake and just say, "Hey man, I hope you're doing well. Have a good day." And
it's
that was
cool.
It. And
yeah.
You remember it. So
absolutely.
That's what we're trying to do now that we're in this position.
It's fun being a fan here because, like my kiddos, when they get autographs or even just, like you said, a handshake, a fist bump, whatever, and then even if the player like leaves this market and moves along, we follow them and see where they are. And some of our favorite Rough Riders, I mean, you guys don't stay here that long, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so it's fun to watch you move on and be like, oh, we have this ball was signed by this guy, and now he's in Minnesota or whatever, and mm-hmm. watch them develop
exactly.
around the league.
Exactly.
That's
so
what's cool about this
yeah,
market.
Yeah, it's really fun. So I think, like I said, we all love doing it and all appreciate, you know, everyone coming out. So
I want to talk about some of your goals, like how you approach your career, your season. And I'm curious, do you set goals? I mean, how do you look at everything? Do you look at pitch by pitch, game by game, by series, by opponent? How do you set out to attack your season?
I would say now it's more on like pitch to pitch sequences. When you're younger, when you're, you know, just get drafted, it's, you know, week to week maybe. Then it turns into game to game. Then it turns into, you know, pitch to pitch. And so now you're in Double-A, you're close to the big leagues. You have to make changes, you know, in a snap. And so you have to. I get here usually. We have a 7 o'clock game. A lot of people don't know this. 7 o'clock game usually, and we get here. A lot of guys get here around, you know, 11 to 12. To make sure they see their video. So you look at video for the other team. Usually for me, I'm looking at the pitcher that's starting that night, who we're facing, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at their hitters to see how we can get them out. Mm-hmm. I'm also looking at our pitchers to see what they're doing and to see what their maybe best move is to get the opposing
matchups for
exactly,
batters. Yeah.
Exactly. So that goes into it a lot. It's just a lot of preparation that you have to do. You know, we're out here. You know, 7-8 hours at least, you know, before the game. And, you know, it's just preparation. It's just getting ready. And you have to goal set. That's big with my family, mm-hmm. And with the Rangers. They usually will give you they, I mean the Rangers, will usually give you a sheet and have a you know, in-depth meeting with you on what your goals are for the year, what you need to work on, what you're good at, what you're bad at. Not necessarily what you're bad at, but just maybe
everybody has weaknesses.
You got to be truthful.
You got to bring them up to get moved up.
So we do that in spring training, and then we follow that plan, that guideline, into the season. And with my family, we have, it's just me, my mom, and my dad. I'm an only child. And so we go set on the very first of the year, so right after New Year's. We go set for the year on anything. So on maybe how many books I want to read that year, how many home runs I want to hit this year, mm-hmm. what my, like everything.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's really, I feel like it really drives me to be better. And I have a reminder the first of every single month to see where I'm at.
Like, okay,
see where
I'm at. Go check yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's not, your numbers for baseball aren't always going to be there. Yeah. It's hard, just because, especially when you give yourself high goals. But with the things that you can control, you know, the book reading, the everything else, like
personal
that.
Development.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Personal development, that's a good way to put it. That's where I need to make sure I'm in line.
Because you can't control everything out here.
No, you can.
One night you might break your hand mm-hmm. hitting.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like you did. Yeah.
So
then some of your numbers are going to change a little, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but you can still learn and get better.
Always.
You know, off the field, like you said, watching
always.
And researching mm-hmm. and being ready.
Yes.
Always. So even when you're not playing, like, right, like if you're on the disabled list or something, how involved are you with the strategy for that pitching staff that night and that catching staff? Like, are you still talking to them and, like, figuring it out with them, or are you just sort of...
I'm still talking. Not as much, because I'm not behind the plate and calling the game. We have great catchers here that are doing that right now. But if I know something about a guy, if I know something about a team that we're facing, then I'll let him know. Sometimes I'm here taking notes or taking mental notes on what guys did that I don't know. And so when I get back, it's like, okay, I remember that he couldn't hit a ball low and away. He can hit a ball up and in. And so,
Because you're going to face him again.
Exactly. You'll face him again. Yeah. And so I think that's very important to remember, maybe write it down, and to make sure you're prepared when your name is called.
You guys have some big catchers around here to live up to. Was it last season that Jose was, what did he win?
A
Golden Glove?
His second Gold Glove.
Am I saying it wrong? Gold Glove?
Gold Glove, yeah, Gold Glove. He won his second one. He won one in 2016, and he won one in 2017.
Okay, I couldn't remember. So it was both.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, back-to-back years.
Yeah.
He unfortunately got hurt last year. Probably wouldn't have won a third one, to be honest with you. That's just how talented and how hardworking he is. You know, I definitely look up to him. And he's, you know, by far the best defensive catcher I've seen. You know, he's a good offensive catcher, too.
Yeah, fun to watch.
Yeah, very, very fun to watch. Very, very... He's the one that I kind of got the preparation from and like, doing different things with the scouting and everything. He's very into that, and he's very consistent with it. I think that's why he's been so successful. And he's, you know, one of the hardest guys I've ever seen work. And so he really takes it seriously. Has fun, but takes it seriously. And that's why he's been so successful.
That's a good guy for you to come
follow
in,
up.
Right? Yeah,
mm-hmm,
follow up
mm-hmm.
with. Are you too young to have watched Pudge play?
No. I wasn't too old or too young.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really watch him as much because I wasn't a catcher back then.
And you weren't, like, following the Rangers.
Right, exactly, yeah. exactly. You know, I still watched, like, Ian Kinsler, Elvis when he was you know, when he was younger.
He was
still
here?
Watch him here, yeah. Still watch him
Rough
now.
Rider?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Both
and,
of them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so... but yeah, I was more on like the infield. I always knew who Pudge was. Obviously, everyone knows who Pudge was. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He comes by here often.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just here last week.
Oh,
I'm pretty
good.
Sure. Just to check up
on
us.
I know he's on camera for the Rangers,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't know how much he did throughout this.
Yeah, he's throughout the system. He comes here a lot.
Good.
And just to make sure that everyone on the team is doing well, the catchers, the everyone. It's really, it's a family kind of set organization. And, you know, we're all brothers here. And so... You know, the guys who did it big time back then are now helping the guys who are trying to do it big time now. And so it's cool to just learn from them and really pick their minds about different things and different situations and what they went through, because, you know, that can only help us.
Love that. Well, it was nice to meet you, Josh. Thank you for taking the time to sit down and let us get to know you a little bit better. We will be watching and rooting for you out there.
Thank you, Kelly, for having me. It was a pleasure. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.